Before I start today, I just wanted to make a comment that we are a resources state and we'll always will be a resources state. So I don't stand here today suggesting anything different. We are proud and should be proud of what we are. My point today, or the point I would like to make today, is actually pretty simple. Can we and should we strive to be anything else? And I mean, if we are realistic about this, we don't need anything other than resources of this state to remain prosperous. It comes down to what we want to do. We must want to look beyond the boom because we don't actually need to. Not today, not tomorrow, and not for the foreseeable future, as John suggested. As fourth in line today, I'm going to attempt to wrap up my experience into some of the topics that the three previous speakers have raised earlier. My tagline, if you read the brochure, was when ideas and capital come together, can this be a happy marriage? I trust that by the end of my talk this afternoon, I may not be able to define exactly what a happy marriage is for you, at least in the business context anyway, other than to say that it's many different things to many different people, and so it goes with ideas and money. Sincere is my second startup, which is quite different from my first startup in terms of its application, but very similar in the sense that it was an idea that required capital to get it going. And may I say, it's also very similar and it's very dependent on not only having good ideas, good access to capital, but good people to manage it. I think Rob touched on the skills thing. Having the right skills is certainly a very important part, if not the most important part of any business, but I'll touch on this later. As I use my experience of Sincere today as my point of reference, let me first give you some background into the company and what we actually do. The company was formed to commercialise technology that was researched by the West Australian Telecommunications Research Institute, and that is in fact a joint venture between Curtin University and UWA. I got involved 3 years ago and we actually formed the company just over 2 years ago, excuse me, but the research went on for many years prior to this. The research was all about extracting speech from background noise. Its commercialisation quickly became the world's first electronic hearing protection that enabled you to continually wear your protection, but at the same time be able to freely communicate in any noisy environment. We have application in mining, construction, manufacturing, military, hospitality, and in fact anywhere there is noise and the need to communicate. In essence, we've set about overcoming the world's largest occupational illness, which is noise-induced hearing loss, and people get that from not wearing their protection in order to communicate. To cut a long story short, we commenced shipping a little over 6 weeks ago of our product, and we now have customers in the UK, China, Europe, Australia, and the US, and these include companies the size of OneSteel, Busy Industries, and Boeing in the US. Great Aussie invention and global application. It's a very good story. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, I'm about to tell you that it's exactly not. That said, I am grateful to be involved in a company with such a feel-good story about it, in that we're helping to solve a real global problem. But we sit here today, as we've done for the last 2 years, sitting on the precipice. A precipice that will either take us to exalted obscurity or commercial excellence. And it's a very, very, very fine line. As Sir Richard Branson continually points out, if you've read his biography, that the only difference between an idiot and a genius with the most amazing foresight is a few million dollars in his back pocket. And whilst our company really does have the potential to be anything, our difficulties in coping with the capital needs never seem to diminish. Having raised seed capital, developed the technology, raised growth capital, and eventually got the product to market, we're now faced with working capital constraints. As the banks will now tell you, even more so with subprime crisis, no trading history, no facility. So we use our cash reserves to buy our stock componentry, COD, so we can then manufacture and then in turn provide trading terms to our rich clients that want at least 60 days to pay. Up to 120 days between the expense and the return with no facilities. Did I mention this startup thing is not an easy thing to do? Over the past 2 years, we've raised $4.5 million in capital, and like most startups, we're married to more than one type of capital. As far as a marriage goes, we have four in the bed. In fact, five if you include us. We have the obligatory known associates to $500,000, we have the angel investor to $1 million, and we have listed venture capital fund to $2 million, and we have government commercial ready grant of $1 million. Let me say, it can be a very exhaustive experience keeping them all happy, because they all have different expectations and different levels of patience. Let me first start with the government grants. I was going to stay away from government policy today, but I got wind of last week. Once I got wind of last week's federal budget, I just had to include it. To put it simply, if I was able to speak my mind, I'd tell you how pissed off I am that the government's pulling the commercial ready program. And with it, wave off small business and, more in particular, emerging innovative companies. The government has been quite vocal about suggestions about who is the backbone of our economy. Well, I don't need to tell you who the heart and the engine room is of our economy, and that is small business. It's the largest employer, it churns billions of dollars through our economy each year, and most significantly to this debate today, is the greatest source of new ideas and product development. Innovation and Industry Minister Kim Carr has said closing the CR program was a tough call. Good on you, Kim. But I further quote, keeping it running in 2008-2009 would have incurred significant commitments into future years, really, limiting the government's capacity to implement new ideas and more effective programs in the future. I understand now. It's about the government's capacity to introduce new ideas. Well, Mr. Carr, whilst any business won't sit here and rely on government grants for its viability and its existence, that would be wrong. The commercial ready program was effective today, and more importantly, our future is today. It's not 2 years down the track when a review is complete and you've brought back the same program with a different name. Hey, laugh, you watch. Whilst we are nearing the end of our commercial ready grant, there are hundreds of companies that were looking forward to theirs. For it to be dropped without warning will place many of these on life support, as most would have been leveraging this as gaining matching funds from it. Early stage or seed capital is very, very difficult to come by in this country, and this decision has just made it much, much harder. Fortunately, we who are prepared for the startup experience have confidence in our own ability to adapt and overcome. Some will probably say too much for our own good, but nonetheless, that's what allows us to take the risks that would deter others. This is a trait that needs to be encouraged not only across all levels of government, but also industry. Because in most situations, this is what provides us with the essential first-to-market advantage. This is where we gain our real advantage. So in an economy that is forecast to deteriorate, we need programs that support education and advancement of research and development, and indeed their commercialisation. The so-called educational revolution, it's not much good if we all have to drive haulbacks. Which gets me to my next point, the resources boom, because I need to leave the government behind. But not before one quick review of the state government. At the macro level, we have the state government sending mixed messages out to the industry stating they have four pillars of innovation: marine and defence, biotech, renewable energy and ICT. Rob, Conrad and myself are intrinsically involved in innovation in this state, and I think if you asked all three of us, you'd probably get a different answer to what exactly is in those pillars. In fact, I'm only seeing things being removed, such as Watchery, which was where Sensir's technology was developed. It's lost its Centre of Excellence funding, despite having five successful spin-outs over the past decade. Put simply, the government needs to come clean on what its innovation program actually is. If it's out, fine. Make a statement that it's out. At a micro level, the state can also better assist small, innovative business. While incubators with a desk and phone are welcome, so is the preservation of our capital. So rather than sit here and complain that not enough is being done by the state government, I'll actually table a solution. It hasn't been costed, by the way, so I'm not sure how much this is going to cost. As a small business has just started to hit revenue since here, and still a fair bit away from consistent profit, we've already been hit with payroll tax of close to $50,000 this year to date. For us, it's a tax on jobs. This $50,000 represents another person that we could potentially employ. The government already has a program in place to assist company called, in fact, Investor Ready. This process provides the government with a good handle on what companies are likely to stand a half-decent chance of making it. So with a government charged with this knowledge, and with it the ability to contain its risk, why not defer the payroll tax until such time as the company is profitable? We'll still contribute, but just when it's more appropriate. That's investing in our future. Enough for governments. Let's get back to boom. Put simply, the boom is the reason Sincere exists today. Our initial form of capital was angel investment, and indeed, an angel made his money from the resources boom and wanted to put back into something more than resource plays. I'd like to think it's catching on, but it will appear as though there is a great amount of risk capital in WA. The risk wants a quick return, which when compared to the resources industry, we don't even come close to competing with it, and are not likely to while commodity prices remain so high. However, we are seeing some action, and this angel investment of $1 million enabled us to get moving and indeed provide matching funds required for our $1 million commercial ready grant. $2 million and we're effectively away. An interesting side note here is that whilst we would have, may well have got this angel investment without the commercial ready, the early stage dilution required to take $2 million from an angel investor may well have possibly killed the deal, in the sense that there would probably have then been not enough equity to get the IP assigned from the universities and, more importantly, get the right people and the right skills involved in the business. So it just reinforces a commercial ready program from my perspective. And this brings me back to the happy marriage, because in my mind it actually takes three to tango. The idea or the intellectual property, the cash or the capital, and the skills or the people. So it is true, the real secret of successful marriage is, I won't say threesome, a 2+1. The relationship between these three is even more critical in this state, as the access to skills is actually at an all-time low. So perhaps the more apt title of today's presentation should have been, is Perth skilled enough for more than mining? And the answer to that is probably not. We are fighting to hire and retain skilled labour just like anyone else. And in fact, we've implemented a new internship program with German universities. They're big on digital signal processing, which is what we're about. And we're about to take on our third intern, and they help work on our new generation of products. With a team of 8 engineers, 5 of which are PhDs, we need the best, and we'll go where we can to find the best, and it needn't be too expensive. But I'm happy to say that we have something challenging enough that we can attract the best. And this is the real key to retaining our staff. Whilst what they get paid is important, most of them are Gen Ys, it's very important, the ability to experiment and have playtime is what keeps them really happy. But it all comes back to how much capital backing you have as to how much more R&D you can continue to conduct. Different forms of capital, whether it's seed, growth capital, working capital or otherwise, it does limit your ability to be innovative. So there you have it. We've looked at the differing forms of capital, the relationship that the capital has on an organisation, including the skills, and the role that governments can play in assisting getting the capital. As Sincere, we'll hope to continue to further demonstrate that there is life outside resources, but in this state it does in fact boil down to commodities. If they're on, then we should position ourselves for some divestment of that capital. If they're off, then we should position ourselves as an equal, if not a better alternative. I'll leave you today with a comment from one of our new clients put on us after his first demonstration of our technology. In fact, it probably summed up why I'm involved in an interview startup and why I think more people should get involved. Having just demonstrated the product, he fronted up and said, "Crap. You guys are going to make a mozza out of this from us, and we're going to turn around and thank you for it." That would be a good outcome on all fronts, in that we would have provided a great return for our investors, shown how good we are at innovation, and helped to solve a big global problem in hearing loss. That would do me. Thanks for your time today.